Okay. If you know the chorus to this song, which you might, please sing along, because like it's an old hymn, and the first two verses, I'm going to do it at the beginning of the sermon, and the conclusion of the sermon will be the verses 3 and 4, okay? I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand, by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane. I think it's such a pretty song, and it's a good song to keep in reminder today as we're trying to think about our perspective for this year. And I pray that God will give you a good perspective. So I called this sermon today, Beauty and Glory, Both In and Out. And I'd like this sermon to be beautiful, but I'd like it to just think about like flying above it, or like we talk in Sunday school today, the peace that passeth understanding. Sometimes circumstances are not perfect in the world, and you just like, well, where is the circumstances perfect in the world? But Christ can bring his perfect power and his perfect grace and mercy, and he can bring his truth in every situation, and he can redeem moments, redeem people, and he can beautify situations, and he can heal, and he can do mighty, mighty strong things. With my God, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. You ever fly in a plane and you go up to a certain altitude and all of a sudden, it's different. And maybe all of a sudden it's bright sunlight and sunny skies, but you were down a little bit low and you weren't seeing things where you did before, where you did then, and it just seemed like storming. There was turbulence and you just fly a little higher and all of a sudden, there's peace. You ever think about those birds? Like, there's certain birds that torment other birds, you know? And then that one bird just flies higher and higher until those other tormenting birds just don't bother anymore. There was a story I heard one time that, it's actually from a book. I think it was a Robert Strand book. And the story is called Killing the Rat. Said some years ago during the pioneer days of aviation, when things were new and flight was in its infancy, things were pretty crude. The sophistication and technology of our day was unheard of. There were problems and dangers which present no problem to us today. With that background in mind, this story makes sense. A brave pilot was making a flight around the world in one of those earlier crudely built airplanes. It was built with a wooden frame, and fabric covered the frame. Very fragile. On this particular leg of the journey, he had been in the air about 2 hours since his last landing when he heard a noise in the plane. He looked around, curious, then was alarmed when he recognized it was the gnawing of a rat. He realized that while his plane had been on the ground, a rat had got in the plane somehow. The danger of the rat was that it could easily gnaw through a vital cable or control line or even one of the important wooden struts. It was a very serious problem. What to do? He was anxious and concerned. He was about 2 hours from his next landing strip. Perhaps we can appreciate his dilemma. He tried to think of a solution as he flew. Then it dawned on him. The rat was a rodent. It was not made for heights. It was made for the ground and under the ground living. That presented the solution. Therefore, the pilot began to climb until he was flying at an altitude of more than 20,000 feet. Soon the gnawing ceased. The rat was dead. The rat couldn't survive in the atmosphere at that height. More than 2 hours later, the pilot brought the plane safely to the next landing field and looked through the plane until he found the dead rat. So, when you go to your prayer room or whatever place you have where you commune with God, you need to be there long enough, not just to read the text for the day and a little devotional on it, but spend some more time with the text, maybe even the bigger pericope that surrounds it. Let God speak to you. Let God study you. Like I told you before, Bible study, it's more of a study of who you are as you look through the scriptures. And let God take you higher. Let God take you deeper. Let God speak to you. Let God speak to you until your rats are dead. Because there's folks in this congregation who still deal with fear, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, lust, greed. They're all rats that are chewing at your spiritual cables. They're all things that are gnawing away and keeping you from the higher flight that you're supposed to have with Jesus Christ. They're keeping you from the true life that is supposed to be a vibrant life lived before others, so that these seats are filled up on a Sunday morning because people are coming to find out what you know and why you're like you are, why you're different, why you're strange. Let me go where you go. Let me study what you study. Let me love who you love, because there's something different about you, because you are flying higher. And we should have some joy about us. And we should have some energy and some strength and stamina and some, when I was listening through the scriptures and listening through Exodus, and one thing I found interesting that I didn't really notice that much before, but in Exodus 28, it says in verse 2, "And you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty." And it says in verse 40 of the same chapter, "For Aaron's sons, you shall make coats and sashes and caps. You shall make them for glory and beauty." For Aaron's sons. "You shall make coats and sashes and caps. You shall make them for glory and beauty." God cares about glory and beauty. He cares about you and how you are and what you accomplish. And we're going to get to talk about Ephesians and Philippians and how it speaks to us about how we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to fly above. Now we're supposed to have a different perspective. We're supposed to be, when people see you, they're supposed to see glory and beauty. I think. Because that's what God cares about. Is it God cares about beauty? Yeah. You've heard before people say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. That came up, somebody made that up for some novel or something. That's not true. Unless you're saying beauty is in the eye of God as he beholds it. There is such a thing as beautiful and such a thing as ugly. And God knows what's beautiful. And God knows what's true and right and praiseworthy. And he wants you to be a person who represents that. He wants you to be a beautiful person. Do you know people who you can say, oh, that's a beautiful person. What a beautiful soul. You've met people like that, right? When I say that, right now in your mind, there's a person you're thinking about, okay? Beauty and glory. He wants you to be a beautiful person. He also cares about glory, too. And when I think about glory, a verse that came to my mind, and that's why you study the Word, because when you're studying the Word, then you study one verse and another verse comes to mind, and that's a good thing. God's putting it together, and he put it together for me. In John chapter 15, verse 8, it says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So somehow God's glorification, somehow glory has to do with fruit. God wants to see you fruitful. Somebody was asking me about a tree this week, about whether they should get rid of it or whether they should, you know, what they should, and I was looking at it, and I was standing at the window, and I was going like, and I was putting my hands a different way, thinking like how that tree would look if it was pruned, you know? Because when you prune a tree, you're going to get more fruit. But I also didn't want it to look wonky, you know? Because I was looking at it, I'm created in the image of God, so are you. So I think I was looking at it like God looks at it. I was looking at it like, I want it to be beautiful, but I also want it to be fruitful. And some of us Christians, we like, oh, we care about having a beautiful life. But we don't care so much about our fruitfulness. God cares about the product and the process. God cares about how beautiful you are as an ambassador for him. But he also wants an ambassador that works, right? Think about that. If you're a leader of a country and you have an ambassador, don't you want your ambassador to be like, look at that guy. That represents my country. That's what I want people to see. But do you just want him to be like doing nothing? Or do you want him to be actually accomplishing things for his country? Maybe even making his country so popular that people want to move there and bring their businesses there, right? And isn't that what we want to do? For beauty and for glory. So, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 to 32. And see what this might tell us about how we're supposed to be beauty and glory. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. So, out with the old stuff, in with the new, flying high, getting rid of the rats. What do we got to get rid of? Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So we want you to be clear with each other, always gentle and respectful, but clear. If you're not clear, it's harder to stay on the straight and narrow. See the snow out there? It's beautiful. Any of you ever been in a snow or a fog? I remember being in a fog that you almost like have to roll your window down and you're keeping your eye on the painted lines on the road and you're scared like crazy and thinking like, oh, where can I pull over or something like that because the visibility is so off, right? You need to be clear with each other and truthful and honest with each other and honest with the world. If they would see Christ and see who he is, you need to stay on the straight and narrow. And if you're leading somebody else, definitely you need to stay on the straight and narrow. You probably feel more responsibility if you say, okay, I'll lead, and you're a little caravan of cars together. You want to stay on the road. So your visibility is important. So therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. That's a hard thing, isn't it? To be angry and do not sin. Yeah. I mean, I've been angry sometimes even at myself, and because I'm so angry at myself, the thing that I'm working with or something, like, may I, like, throw the tool down on the ground, or may I break something? And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, that accomplished a lot, right? I'm not even hurting anybody else, but I'm wasting stuff. I'm not being a good steward of what God gives me. I can even sin in that little way, because my anger, I'm not just like, okay, all right, step back. It's just... be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. If you're angry with somebody, deal with it. Either forgive or lovingly, gently, and respectfully confront the other person. And if they have sinned, they'll admit it. If they don't, maybe they enlighten you, and maybe you can say you're sorry. If it's a really serious matter, then, you know, Matthew 18 tells you how to deal with that. Bring along another person and bring it to the church. But so much can just be dealt with just with forgiveness or just with seeing yourself a little bit better. Otherwise, you let the anger go, and it's, like I told you before, it's like eggs and oatmeal and mashed potatoes in the pan. Easy to clean out right away, but hard to clean off in a couple hours. Wouldn't it be something if you get to the end of the day, you know the church is such a decent, good church, and your friends and all your circle, you get to the end of the day, and you think it's a good day. Because I know none of my friends would keep anger against me by the end of this day. So I've got good relationships with everybody in my church, everybody in my family, because I know they follow Jesus' command that they're not hanging on to anything. Don't hang on to stuff. Tell you before, hang on to stuff. It's like that thing that gets stuck in your drain, the toothpick or whatever, and all of a sudden, every hair in the world is getting caught on that, and sooner or later, you're not getting the good drainage. That's not good for you or for anybody. And do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. He likes to work his foot in the door, doesn't he? Don't let him do that. Don't give him an opportunity. Because your bitterness that comes from anger can turn into a lot of things. Like a husband and wife, maybe they're arguing about intimacy issues and everything, and all of a sudden he's all angry and he's bitter and he thinks he has some kind of right, which he does not, to look on some stuff late night on the internet or on his phone that he should never be looking at. But that anger gave way to lust. And that lust... maybe that gives way to a lot of wasted money, a lot of wasted time, and wasted opportunities too, because he's messing up his focus. And give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Once again, that's a working verse. We already talked about working. God wants fruit, and that good fruit is that good work that we do. Christians obviously should always be ready to speak the truth in love, because we need to share the gospel. It's by faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. So we need to speak the word. Don't just say you're out there being an evangelist and you never tell anybody about Jesus. At the same time, I'll tell you, Christians should be good workers too. That when they do a job, they should do it quality. They should do it with conscientiousness. So this verse talks about Being a good worker. So maybe some of y'all, you know, laziness is something to confess to. That song going through my head right now. Give of your best to the master. Right? Give of the strength of your youth. You can say, well, I'm not young anymore. Well, I don't know. Look at Caleb, look at Moses. They were still doing a lot in their older age. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. We had to, like I told you, when all those grandkids got together, we had to watch that. And it's like, oh, it's such a nice party and everything. But getting a bunch of like little kids together, the talk goes to potty talk real quick. And after a while, I saw less and less grace in the words. And so, I don't know. We dealt with it, but we kind of probably could have done better with it, you know. But I'm just, and they're kids, you know, they're children. So they learn their lessons, and you try to watch over that. But I'm telling you, potty talk, we call it gossip now. And we don't see it as clearly, but it's potty talk. It's still trying to put somebody in the toilet in some way. You know, it's still not good. Not good. So watch over your mouths. We talked about that last week. Blessing and cursing should not come out of the same orifice there. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Grieving the Holy Spirit. What does that mean, grieving the Holy Spirit? And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, what do you think it means to grieve the Holy Spirit?
Sin against your conscience.
Sin against your conscience. The Holy Spirit is working in you, trying to tell you to separate, showing you to choose the right. The Word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword, and so it helps you to understand everything. Jesus does, the Holy Spirit does. He helps you understand everything, brings you into the fullness of truth. So you know what's right and true because Jesus Christ has given you His Holy Spirit, and you go against that, you grieve Him. You know what that looks like as a parent. And it is just basically sinning, and it grieves Him. But I'll tell you, imagine if you're a person who you need to be focused on what the Bible says, and you need to do what this holy instrument of God, His Word, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is God's Word. It is holy. It comes out of God's mouth, so I love it. I treasure it as I love God, because it's His Word out of His mouth. You know, Moses told, you know, take off your sandals because you're on holy ground. It's ground that God's standing on. This is words that come out of His heart, His very heart. So if you don't treasure it and you don't live by it and listen to it, it grieves God. And why does it grieve Him? It grieves Him because you're going against Him. You're rebelling against Him. You're not listening to Him. You're not loving Him like you should. But it also grieves Him, I think, it also grieves Him because it's not good for you. And He's like, oh no, don't do that. Let me give you an example. Now, this is about a guy who's flying in the military. And I'll tell you, you know, the Bible says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world, but on the contrary, have divine power to demolish strongholds, to demolish arguments. So, and the verse goes on. I'm just trying to recall what I can recall here, because I wanted to recall this because I just want to tell you that though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. That's a very brethren in Christ understanding. So that being said, let me share with you something that I think is still a good example. There was a guy who was flying in Iraq. And it was during the Desert Storm when people were concerned about getting rid of the chemical weapons places and all that evil stuff. Shortly after crossing into Iraq, Colonel Patton's jet was locked onto by an Iraqi surface-to-air missile radar. He violently maneuvered his aircraft to break the radar's lock on him. So he's flying in darkness, and yeah, absence of moonlight, high clouds. So it's very rough to see. He's flying in darkness. And he's locked onto by an Iraqi surface-to-air missile radar. That's like the rats got a hold of him, okay? He violently maneuvered his aircraft to break the radar's lock on him. His maneuver successfully broke the lock, but it created a new problem. Those radical movements in the dark threw off the balance in his inner ear, which is what happens to a person when they get dizzy. Anybody ever have an inner ear dizziness? Caused him to become disoriented. His mind was telling him his plane was in a climbing right turn. But when he checked his instruments, they indicated he was in a 60 degree dive toward the ground. He was sure he was in a climb instead of a dive. And his mind was screaming at him to lower the nose of his F-15 to halt the climb. While his mind commanded him to correct the plane in one direction, his instruments instructed him to do just the opposite. Because he was flying in total darkness, he had to decide quickly whether to trust his mind or his instruments. His life depended on making the correct choice. And before I tell you what he did, think about this. The Holy Spirit, God is love, right? Right? God is holy, God is love. One attribute doesn't abrogate another. God is all these things at once in their totality. God is just, God is merciful, God is holy, God is... And he does everything in the right way. So when you think of the Holy Spirit, you think of God as love. You know, God is grieved by you sinning, by you not doing the right thing, because you are rebelling, you are insulting him, you are disrespecting him, you are not fearing him as you should, you are turning against him. But can you also see that God's like, oh, no, no, don't do that, don't do that, because he knows you're in a tailspin. He knows you're thinking the wrong way. You think you're right, but you're totally wrong. And he doesn't want you to crash. He doesn't want you to suffer. He doesn't want... You know what I mean? So the Holy Spirit is grieved when you're hurting yourself. When you are wasting time and you could be doing the right thing. When you could be setting things right instead of wrong. The Holy Spirit's grieved because you're not getting it. And he loves you. And he's like, why are you doing this? Don't you realize what a desperate situation you are in? And there's other people in your family who are looking to you to get it right. And you're not getting it right. There's other people on the ground who are hoping you get it right too. So he's in the air. What's he going to do? Even though it took everything within him to overcome what his mind was telling him, he decided to trust his instruments. He rolled his wings level and pulled his F-15 upward, which drew 7 times the force of gravity, pulling the aircraft out of its dive. It only took a few moments to realize he had made the right decision. If he had lowered the nose of his jet, like his mind had been telling him, he would have crashed the plane. Trusting his instruments saved his life. Immediately, he looked at his altimeter, which told him the elevation of his aircraft. He had narrowly escaped colliding into the mountains of Iraq by just 2,000 feet. Although he had made the correct decision by trusting his instruments, he realized he had delayed. If he had delayed just three more seconds, his plane would have crashed into the mountains. Even right decisions can be wrong ones if they are made too late. So it's important for you to not think, I'll think about this message for a while and maybe I'll listen to God sometime this year. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for you to spiritually clean house and get rid of the racks and start doing your devotions and giving God the time that He wants to examine your whole self. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Imagine the person who would grieve the Holy Spirit by saying, but this is how I feel, you know, and I think this is the way it's going to make me happy. This is the way it's going to be right. This is the way I see it. Maybe that's your truth, you know. There's one truth. That's the ground. You know? God, the way God sees it is reality. Well, I feel like this. Grieves the Holy Spirit. Or maybe I'll just, you know, this flying thing is really a lot of tension. Maybe I'll just go back in the back for a while. Or maybe we'll just sit around and talk about good flights that we've had in the past. That would be good. Let's just do that. Do you think that would grieve the Holy Spirit? I think anything in that flight would grieve the Holy Spirit except doing what needs to be done and being obedient to what the instruments are saying. And in this scenario, if you had some kind of, like if this was in home territory, if you had some kind of contact with air traffic control, with mission control, if you had some kind of contact, I think they would be grieved if you wouldn't listen to them, right? So if you don't have the prayer and you don't have the instruments that you're looking at, the Holy Spirit would be grieved. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Listen to God. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. We talked about that last week, didn't we? Along with all malice. Malice, you know, you might not be saying it with your mouth. Malice. That's the heart to hurt. You know? It's like, you might not say it, but if something happens to somebody who's like annoyed you so many times in the past year, just like, Yep. Yeah. Like, you'd want somebody to hurt. You'd want somebody to suffer. You need to realize what a sinner you and I have been. You need to realize how much you have been saved, so much so that you can look with another person with pity. And if they fall, and if they have problems, that you pray for them. Pray blessing upon them, because you know how much God has blessed you. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And that's what we're talking about. Think of the cross and keep it ahead of you, keep it in front of you. Philippians, it's a shorter collection of verses, but it'll also tell you some things about flying high. Keeping your mind clear for Jesus Christ. When I talk about flying high, you know, I'm never talking about marijuana. Stay away from that junk. I just got to say that because it's so all over the place these days. Philippians 4, 8 to 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. The things that you read, the things you watch, the things you listen to, I mean, that right there just might make you turn off the Super Bowl different times. If you're watching it, you might just skip the whole halftime thing. I don't know when the last time there was ever a decent halftime show, maybe you remember. But anyway, maybe I should be more careful. I mentioned marijuana and everything. I knew it. I need to. Bible talks about sorcery, Galatians, you know, talks about that. That kind of stuff, it comes from drug usage terms, like from where we get word pharmacy and stuff. And lowers your IQ 8 points, brings a lot of anger and stuff to play into, you know, and we've already talked about different reasons. I don't want to get into all the reasons, but there's good reasoning to stay away from stuff. But here, what we're talking about is other stuff the world gets drugged up on. Things that entice our eyes, entice our hearts. I don't know why people enjoy such violent movies or violent books. I don't know why people use such language they use, even with little kids. You hear people sometimes at the grocery store or at the discount stores and stuff, and they're cursing their kids out for not listening to something. I'm like, oh, you know, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. Think about those things, you know? Give it all a test. If there's any excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What are you thinking about these days? What are you investing your mind in? What about the music you listen to? What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, a lot of us want peace, but we don't listen to the first part of it. What comes in is what comes out. So think about what you center your mind upon. What do you do with your spare time? What is your entertainment? I don't know how many video games out there are violent these days. Is that the predominant type of video games out there? I would imagine so, but, you know? And people say, well, that's just entertainment. I don't see much about entertainment in the Bible. You know? The things you spend your mind on, the things you take time to look at, they can be entertaining, but all entertainment's teaching you something. It's all resting your mind and your heart somewhere. So think about these things. And if we think about the right things, we have a promise from God. And this is a promise, that the God of peace will be with you. If you think about the right things, invest in the right things, study the right things, like that pilot, you know, in order to understand the instruments, he had to spend time working with the instruments, right? He had to spend time resting his mind, what the instruments are saying, understanding all that stuff. So, rest your mind on good things. Fly above it all. Think about what's right and true and good, honorable, praiseworthy. And God will give you peace. And isn't that what you want for this coming year? Peace. So forgive each other. Be honest with each other. Love each other. You feel insulted? Overlook it. Forgive. And let the rats just keel over. And you live with life and life abundant. Not needing the props of the world, because you have the Holy Spirit, who you're not going to grieve. We're not going to grieve the Holy Spirit, because we're going to listen to what God wants. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has called the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, by faith on edge. Higher ground.
still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Let's just conclude the service with one more chorus, if you wouldn't mind.
Lord, lift me up.
May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good that you may do his will. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Fly high!